Have a seat, all. Great to see so many people here this morning. I'm very excited for Vision Sunday. So if you're in the house here, I'm so pleased you're in the house. And as a team, we're all pleased you're in the house. If you're joining us online, big welcome. We've got some of our real regulars online. My father-in-law, Des, who hardly misses a morning. Great to have you here for Vision Sunday. Emily's can't be with us this morning. Welcome, Emily, online. Jack and Jamie, God's got big things for you this year. Welcome online. Great to have you here with us. About our house, the kids. You right now can go upstairs. Ready, set, go. I probably should be going to kids' church this week. This week, had a conversation with Alex, my wife, and she asked a question and then answered herself. She said, "How old are you?" 12. Because I was out with one of my boys on the bikes, and I was actually on my mountain bike, and because of my youth, I still try and do things like wheel stands or monos or whatever you want to call them on the bike. And I was practicing them in a park not far from our house. The issue was that I had my clip-in pedals on. And I wasn't quite as confident with them in, but I thought I'm gonna get over this. So up I went, and for those that know anything about bikes, I did what you call flipped it. And normally you would just put your feet down and it doesn't cause too much trouble. But in this sense, I went over onto my back really, really hard. I was winded. My seven-year-old's looking at me, "You all right, Dad?" And I'm going, "Ooh!" Anyway, I probably have a cracked rib, but other than that, I'm fine. Yeah. I shared a couple of weeks ago about walking on Ocean Beach on our beautiful West Coast. We were camping down there and had a wonderful time. And this particular morning it was, we were pretty late getting the kids to bed, and Alex had gone to sleep before the kids. Finally get them to sleep, and I think they'd been up with other kids and so forth, and it was probably about midnight by the time I got the kids to sleep. Anyway, they were all quiet, and it was a really warm night, and I thought, I don't feel like sleeping yet. So I went out for a walk. On where we were camping is Macquarie Heads. And so I went out for a walk on the beach, and I sort of walked up around the entry to Macquarie Harbour. And I'm sitting there, and I remember it was about 1 in the morning, and I'm sitting there on this beautiful expanse of beach, and really just me and one rogue four-wheel drive that came past at one point, nearly cleaned me up, but I'm just sitting there, and I'm looking across at the entry to Macquarie Harbour, and the entry to Macquarie Harbour has a little narrow path that the shipping needs to go through. If you look at it from where I was on the beach, it looks quite easy because it was a calm night, and there's a great big expanse that looks like you could drive a boat through, or navigate a boat through, might be a better term, but there's a big sandbar there. So all the shipping's got to go through this narrow path, and that path is actually called Hell's Gates for very good reason, because it's very rough there on the West Coast, and the shipping needs to get there, and there's a lighthouse. There's a little rock island on one side of Hell's Gates, and then you've got sort of the southern side of the Tasmanian mainland on the other side, and there's a lighthouse right at the entry to Hell's Gates, and there's another one on the southern side just inside Macquarie Harbour. And I'm sitting there looking at those lighthouses and just sort of picturing and thinking about going through there in a boat, and God really spoke to me. And the irony of the fact that I'm looking at Hell's Gates wasn't lost on me. And the thing he reminded me of was prophecies that we've had over this church over many years. It's not just like, somebody said something on a certain day. And it's been a consistent thing that God has continually spoken into us through many, many people at different times. And it is that we are called to be a lighthouse church. And it wasn't just like, oh yeah, there's the lighthouse, Dave. And you know, that's been said. It was like the Holy Spirit went bam. He said, you've got to come back to the fact that you are a lighthouse church. You've got to get hold of that. As a church, we need to get hold of the fact that we're a lighthouse church. And the irony of the fact that those lighthouses sit right there at the entry to Hell's Gates. And the irony is not lost on me that here we are understanding that we have the light. But even where we're situated right here in Moona, there is stuff going on really close to us that is dark. You know, we've seen things in the media. There was, you know, the stabbing over here, and there's all sorts of stuff that goes on, and it's not just here. But sometimes we actually have a lovely time in the light, but the light isn't penetrating the dark, which is not very far away. And we have got to understand that God is calling us to be a lighthouse church for this city and beyond.
Yeah, that's great.
And that, like all churches, should be lighthouse churches, but there is something about a calling on us that is actually to be a beacon of hope, not just for our immediate surrounds, but for the region that we're in and for all sorts of other ministries beyond that. So let's get hold of that. Let's not be scared of it. Let's grab it with both hands and realize that that's what God is calling us into. Have you got your vision booklets there? These are really cool. We've got all these people in them. You can see there you've got you've got our leadership team. You've got our board. You know, you're actually probably the best looking one there, Leonie. So you're doing pretty well. And then we've got we've got our vision statement there. And I'm not going to speak into that this morning, but that underpins what we're doing. And I want to really get into our strategy. Which is there. So you can follow along with that. And as Grant said, let's take notes on that. But the vision that we carry is both large. And as we've been through this season of transition and really coming into this location, there's been a bigger battle on than perhaps many of us anticipated. There's always a battle when you're taking ground from the enemy. But there's been a bit of a battle on with that, and probably I'll be really open with you right now. What I have found the hardest as a leader is as somebody that is inspired by vision and the stuff that's out there is having to hold that, but also sort of, you know, bring some of it back to where we have been at various times, and that's been a little bit of a challenge for me to be able to do that. But what I've known is I've trusted God in that, and He's doing something really, really special amongst us. And He's actually preparing us for a very, very exciting season. So, you know, the vision we carry is both large and small. Our mandate starts with the individual, but it extends well beyond our city boundaries. So large and small, our mandate starts with the one. And here's the thing, every person, as you know, is created in the image of God. And I think we have got to take hold of that as a very, very important truth in these days. Every person is of immense value, and every person is created in the image of God. Every person is created unique. You're not the same as anybody else. God saw you before time, and He actually created you in an incredibly unique way. And sometimes I look in the mirror and I think, well, why did He do that? And obviously He's got a purpose in it, and one day I'll understand it. But you know, we get so, I'm joking, we get so thingy about some of those things, but He's actually placed something inside you that is incredibly unique. Nobody else can walk out what He has for you to walk out. because that is your mission, it is your purpose, and he saw that before the beginning of time. Every person is immensely valuable. Jesus taught us about leaving the 99 and going for the one. So sometimes we can on a Vision Sunday, we can think about the big vision. But Jesus taught us the value of the one. That when he had the 99 sheep, safe and sound and all good for the night, and there was one missing, he leaves them to go for the one. But Jesus also asked us to go into all the world. So in Mark 15:15, it says he told them, go into all the world, preach the good news to everyone. And we are being called to be a lighthouse, a beacon of hope. And let me start to unpack this a little bit now. So Matthew 5:14-16, and if you've been around for the last month or so, this won't be new because I've been preaching it. I think it's important when we come to Vision Sunday that there's been a bit of a soaking before we get there on where we're going. So Matthew 5:14-16, it says, Jesus is speaking to his people in the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, you are the light of the world. A town on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So as followers of Jesus, our light should not be hidden. And you've heard that in Sunday school, haven't you? You know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Alex would tell me, don't sing. Was I almost in tune, was I? Yeah, wow, that's amazing. There is something special on Vision Sunday if that happened. But the thing is, when Jesus said that, he said, oh, don't try and be light. You know, you don't have to sort of suddenly try and be light. See, you can have a light bulb. And that light bulb can sit there and if it's not plugged in, it can try or whatever. You can speak to it, you can stroke it, you can declare it, you can prophesy over it. You can do anything you like, but that will not be light until it's connected to the power source. And then when it's connected to the power source, it doesn't have to do anything. It just is light. You see, when you come into the kingdom of God, when you follow Jesus, you don't have to try to be light. You don't have to go through sort of all sorts of training, discipleship courses and things to be light. Supernaturally, you are light. So number one in understanding light is to be light, you've got to follow Jesus. That's the first thing about being light. The second thing is to shine bright. You see, we can be light, but our light is not always shining bright because of inhibitors and things that we allow to come in to our world. So number one, you've got to believe that you're light. You've actually got to believe that you've got something in you that people need that makes a difference. And I think so many times as Christians we think, oh, one day I might have it together. One day I could probably be light. One day I could probably be in a position, you know, to help people or share what Jesus has done. I was talking to a lady this week, a lovely lady and quite reasonably elderly. And she just shared with me, she said, I just never feel like I'm quite good enough. I never feel like I'm quite good enough. I see these other people, you know, in the church and, you know, doing this stuff, and I don't feel like I'm good enough. And I just said to her, I said, none of us are good enough. I'm not good enough. The only reason is that we're not good enough, but we're all good enough. You see, you're not good enough in yourself, but you carry Jesus in you, and you're completely good enough. And we don't have to strive and try to be good enough. That's the thing about being light. You are light. To shine bright, believe that you're light. That's number two. Number three, this is not our main points. This is just a little side thing. To shine bright, number three, got to stand on a hill. The old rule of real estate, position, position, position. You know, by the and buy the worst house in the best street because it will value in that place. Position actually matters. Maybe your light is sort of shining, but maybe you need a reposition or a reposture. And sometimes the problem is our posture. You know, you're down, you're bent over. It's like, oh yeah, and everything around us is dragging us down. But a reposture is, you know, I'm a son and a daughter of the Most High God. I carry something special. I'm actually royalty. You know, and then all of a sudden our posture changes, and actually we stand, and then we're in a position where our light actually shines. You know, people are actually drawn to the light because of our posture. We're blessed with an amazing physical location. We really are. The miracle that we've got here, and I'll talk about that a bit later on. And we've got an amazing location right in the middle of New Norfolk too, by the way. And in that sense, we stand on a hill. We stand on a hill. Let's place ourselves strategically in places where our light can actually shine and it's most effective. That's one of our challenges. Where can you actually stand where your light is effective? You see, if I never get out of my house and I'm not engaging with anybody, I might be reading the Word, I might be studying the Word, I might be understanding all sorts of amazing things, but if I never move from that place to where I can have an impact, where I can have relationship, where I can have connection with people, well, my light can't shine, can it? So we've got to position ourselves where our light can shine. Let's allow our light to shine as the love and the goodness of God flow through us. You know, that light will bring illumination and clarity and hope to those around us. Together, we are a light of hope for this city.
Right.
Together, we're a light of hope for this city. Together, we need to stand strong and confident in Jesus. You are the light of the world. And That word "you," and I've sort of checked it out a bit in the Greek, and it depends on which bits you look at. But in some cases, it sort of has a plurality about it, where it's actually saying "you," as in Australia we'd say "yous." You together are the light of the world. And when Jesus looked at those that were following him, right in those early days of the Sermon on the Mount, he's saying, you together are the light of the world. And I was thinking about this picture when I was getting ready for today, and Maddie came over and shared pretty much the same thing with me this morning. But imagine you've seen pictures of a birthday cake. You know, probably the most significant birthday for parents and a child is that first birthday. You know, you bring maybe some other ones later, but that first one's exciting. And you know, the child sort of doesn't really even know what's going on, other than ripping up some paper or putting their hands in the birthday cake or something like that. But you bring out this cake with one candle on it. And if you've lit it, you know, before, and you're trying to carefully carry it over so the candle doesn't blow out, you know, and you, 9 times out of 10, it blows out before it gets there and you've got to relight it. But you've also seen those big cakes sometimes where somebody's perhaps had a 60th, 80th or even 100th birthday. You know, you've seen these pictures of somebody having 100th birthday in a nursing home. And you know, family have gathered around them and they bring this cake and somebody's sort of a risk taker, so they put 100 candles on the cake. You know, and they light up the candles and they're carrying it in, and the person carrying it sort of got third degree burns in their face as these candles just gain momentum, and all of a sudden you've got the whole thing on fire. And you know, that's the difference. See, one candle, one little candle by itself, it's a light and it makes a difference, and don't underestimate what your one light does. But it is powerful. It is powerful when we stand together. It is powerful when we stand together. I was not an electrician before I did this. And one of the ways that we used to measure the power of light, there were two ways. We used to measure it in watts, which makes sense to an electrician, and we used to also measure it in candle power. And they, you know, you would get globes. They were like 32 candle power, which was about 18 watts. And it was obviously taken back somewhere. Somebody just sort of thought about how much energy you would get from one candle, and so they doubled that. You know, 100 or 1,000 candle power globes. And there is something powerful about when our light comes together and it burns incredibly bright. You see, here where we're situated for the season ahead, it's not just about Dave and Alex having a vision, or it's not about a team that stand together and that. It's about a whole army of people that actually come together, and we are going to burn bright, and we are going to be a light not only to Moona but to Tasmania and beyond, because it's not about one candle power. It's about the combined. When we come together, you just can't stop that. You cannot stop that. The other thing is Jesus said, remove the bowl. Number four, remove the bowl. To shine bright, remove the bowl. And I would actually, if I could get really, really cranky now, I won't, I promise, because it's not a good look. But the enemy... What is one of his biggest ploys in holding back the church? He wants you to get hurt. He wants you to get disappointed. He wants you to get offended. He wants you to get you burnt out. How many times have you heard Christians using those terms? I am hurt, I am offended, I am disappointed, I am burnt out. Now, those are real things for people, so I'm not glossing over the point of it, but what I am saying is that hurt, disappointment, burnout, and what's the other one? Offense, yeah. Those things actually are like a bowl that come over our light. And we've got the love of Jesus in it, and it's wanting to burn. And then when you interact with somebody, you might even come to a church service and you're inspired, and you go into a cafe in the week and you start having a conversation with somebody, and all they're hearing is hurt, all they're hearing is disappointment, or all they're hearing is offense. And the love of Jesus cannot penetrate that, because you've actually put a wall up around you of that. Yeah. Now we got to break that. We've got to break that office. Because, you know, if we're on mission, if we're going forward, guess what? There is going to be a lot of opportunity to get hurt. Yeah. We start to do something, and, oh, some leader didn't tell me that we needed to put extra things in, and somebody else didn't follow through. Yeah, we work on that. We'll try to get that better, but people are people. It's always going to happen. And it's so easy to feel hurt in that. So when we're on mission, we've got plenty of opportunity for that to happen. We've got plenty of opportunity for somebody to be an idiot and you to get offended. Hang around me for a couple of weeks. Actually, it won't take that long. It'll probably only take listening to this message. And I can probably offend you. And you know, even one of our nice people, I'm looking there at Dave, Dave and Kim Miller, they're nice people. But I bet just once Dave offended somebody, just somewhere. No, sorry. He's pointing at his wife. Would you guys like to come out and we'll sit on the couch? Come on. We've got to remove the bowl, and we've got to put it on a stand. We've got to be confident in who we are. Yeah. You know, and it's all about a whole city, a whole family. God wants the whole house. He wants to open all the rooms. He wants all of us to get involved. And I just think as we go forward, if if you're not involved in what God's calling, let's decide. Let's decide that I'm going to let my light shine the whole house. I am going to be involved. You see, the kingdom of God is not something that you just go on as a passenger. It's something that you are right in or you're not. Let's be totally involved. So come on, what's our strategy? What's our strategy? And if you got your books, I'm about to look at our strategy. We've got to grow. We need to reach into our community. And that's reach your friends, reach your family, let the light of Jesus shine into the darkness. So our strategy is reach, gather and grow. We're going to gather. I'll come back to these individually in a sec, so don't worry. But we're going to gather. I think this is really powerful in this day and age. Gather. God, Psalm 68 verse 6, God places the lonely in families. And he sets the prisoners free and gives them joy. But listen to this. He makes the rebellious live in a scorched land. How many rebellious Christians are out there by themselves and they are getting scorched? They're getting absolutely scorched because, again, you know, there's this stuff that the enemy does so well. You know, there's offense, there's disappointment, and, oh, I can't be part of a body because not everybody will agree with me. Well, guess what? Not everybody's going to agree with you. Look, even in here, not everybody even agrees with me. And that's the beauty of the church. Like we don't, when you come in the door, when you get involved in this, we choose to be together and we choose to agree on what's important, but we'll never agree on every little bit of doctrine and every little bit of thing and all those things. We're not asking you to sign some form and say that you agree to this doctrine and that doctrine. We're actually saying, you know, if you want to come forward with, first of all, just come in and hang around. Just come in and be part of the family. Just come in and get involved. You know, and if you want to serve and you want to lead, well, first of all, we're just saying we want to know that you love Jesus. We want to know that you confessed Him as your Lord and Savior. We want to know that you've chosen to follow Him. And then you will be amazed at what He can do in you. No one was designed to be alone. We're better together. We grow together. And we will grow. We will grow in depth. We will grow in capacity. And we will grow in size. Together and individually, we're committed to growth. And as we grow together as individuals, we bear the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Who had those going on this week? All right, let's look at reach. What does it mean to reach? Here's the note bit. Here it is in your book. Reach. And our reach pastor is Pastor Chris Rubersing. And this morning, I'm just presenting a vision like that. And in coming weeks, what we're going to do, we've got a month of vision. So you're going to get to hear from different leaders as we unpack that and we drill down into what it actually looks like. But so ministries include youth with Pastor Chris, community with Pastor Chris, and missions with me. So you can see that there are plenty of opportunity to jump on board as Chris grows the team there and brings other people into spaces in that area. But to reach, you know, we see a big-hearted, big-spirited, prophetic church that will reach through the familiar and embrace our whole community. We declare unlimited hope and favour across our city and to the nations. And we do that together, as I've shared already about the candle. And Psalm 133, 1-3 says, "How wonderful and pleasant is it when brothers live together in harmony, for harmony is as precious as the oil that was poured over Aaron's beard and ran down his head and onto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion, and there the Lord pronounced his blessing." There's actually not, I don't think there's anywhere else in Scripture where it says, "and there the Lord declares a blessing." It's actually connected to unity. So when we go together, when we've got those candles, when we've got that light burning together, it's incredibly powerful. And it's interesting as you unpack that. The moment that David, he was the writer of this psalm, and he says, "There the Lord commands a blessing." Where was there? And if you look at the verse, he says, Zion. He says, "Zion, there the Lord commands a blessing." And obviously, I won't go into all the bits and pieces about Zion, but they talked about Zion, the mountain of the Lord in Jerusalem, but it represent the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. It represented the kingdom. So what he's actually saying is, there, Zion, when you are not just united and unity for unity's sake. You know, we can start up some sort of club and say, "We're going to be unified. We're going to be together. Yeah, yeah, rah, rah, we've got unity." But what are we unified around? What are we unified for? You see, he says, "There, Zion, the Lord pronounces a blessing." It is when you are unified in and for kingdom purpose in the kingdom, there the Lord commands a blessing. Are we light givers? Are we grace givers? Are we love givers? Does our life and our everyday routine bring light, abundance, and fruitfulness to the kingdom of God? Are we growing the kingdom? Are we bearers of hope? Do we show that God's love is for all and is shining strong? Come on, let's unite around these things. And it says, there, the Lord commands a blessing. Together, we are light, and our light will shine. I believe our light will bring the kingdom to Moona. Our light will bring kingdom to Hobart. Our light will bring the kingdom to New Norfolk and the Derwent Valley. Our light will bring... we'll bring the kingdom to Tasmania, to Nepal, to the Philippines. Come on, let's understand that what you are part of isn't insignificant. When we come together and when we have a vision, you'll be amazed at how far that light actually penetrates. You see, through love in action, we will see a community that is marginalized become restored and the disadvantaged transformed. So let's get hold of that. Chris is going to speak to more of that in coming weeks. And, you know, we've got opportunities in our street teams. We've got opportunities in high schools. You know, you know what? The only thing that actually really limits us in that space, it's not vision, it's not opportunity. We actually have to build an army of people who want to volunteer and want to be part of that and want to be in the community.
That's it.
And if God is stirring your heart to reach the community, we have got opportunity for you to bring the kingdom to Moona, to our high schools, to our streets, to New Norfolk. Let's get into that and let's say, you know what, we're going to volunteer and we're going to be on board with that. We're going to remove hurdles. We're going to make it as easy as it possibly can be for that.
Right.
Obviously, our light shines beyond our shores, and we have got an incredible partnership with Pastor Vivek in Nepal. And while we build our church, our home in Tasmania, God has actually, he's compelled us to actually not only just build this house here, but build a building in Nepal, and that's really, really exciting. And if we can have the pictures up there, that would be really, really cool. So can you remember on with our miracle offering, and there was people were incredibly generous, and that was a great miracle. But right now, those guys, if you flick through there, back to the building ones, and you can actually see that they're putting Rio down, and there's some more there of them digging some holes and laying foundations and things like that. So they're underway with that building in Nepal, and that is directly happening because of your generosity and your giving that's actually made that happen. So that works pretty much started after we did one of the transfers to get that money over there to them and get them underway with that. So, and what they're building there is not just a church, but it's a community centre, it's a training centre, and it's a centre that will allow the local church to meet and impact their community. But they'll also train hundreds of pastors that will go out through all sorts of areas in Nepal. They will engage with the community. That's one of their training centres. A lot of those boys there that you see in that picture would have been on the streets and needed a home, and they've been able to house those kids and really sow the gospel in. And so many of them are actually standing up. You know, some of the most exciting things I've done is just to hear the passion when I've been in Nepal with, you know, those young men that actually want to see the gospel transform cities and villages. Because you know what? The gospel does what nothing else can over there, just like it does here. But because of the oppression of some of the beliefs and the caste systems and things that are in place, people don't feel like that they've got empowered at all to do anything but just live in poverty or disappointment. The gospel actually comes and transforms the way a village thinks. And all of a sudden, you know, people are released and dignity and prosperity actually come to those villages. And I could go on about that a lot, but I'll keep moving. So, one of the ways that we really fund a lot of those things is through our Kingdom Foundation. And we've been called to be a lighthouse church to our city, as I've been saying. And, you know, God's love is as vast as the mission, and a big mission requires a big vision, a big vision mission, a big vision requires resource. And you know, I was really, Alex and I were very humbled and encouraged with our miracle giving this year, that where we actually saw about $130,000 given over and above our regular giving, which has obviously been able to get buildings started, and we're able to get more done on this building here. I'll get to that in a minute, but you know, each year we give over and above. So that'll be coming up later in the year and you'll hear about that. But our miracle offering is all about, you know, your church, ministry, stuff, extra things that we can do in ministry, which is people, your centre, which is the building. And it's a facility that houses vision and it trains and equips and it blesses the community. And your community, which is our local outreach, where we connect with our local community. So, gather. Pastor Elizabeth leads our gather area, which is our services. And the ministries include service teams, which is Lizzie, YC Kids, which is Yinshi, and worship team, which includes Andrew and Fiona, who head up the tech area, and also Ben and Jessica, our worship team, and it's all overseen by Pastor Alex. So you'll see that in your brochure. But you know what? This is so critical with where we've been in the last couple of years. Let's not put off meeting together. It's so easy to say, oh, I'm not going to come. I'll just join online or I'll watch it later. How many times have you thought, yeah, I'd like to be at that. I'll watch it online later if you can. How many times do you do it? I'm not going to ask for hands, but I know. I get things on my email all the time about, you know, seminars and conferences that I could get to online, and I think, oh, that would be great. I would get a lot out of that. I should do it, but I'm busy and stuff goes on. And then other times I know that some of those I can grab later, but mostly I never do. Because, you know, the immediate often takes over the important and all those things happen. Like, we have just got to choose to meet. We've got to choose to gather in worship services. We've got to choose to gather in connect groups. We've got to choose to gather in teams. And we've got to do this thing together. And we understand too, when we worship, When we come together, we actually want to encounter the presence of God. You know, we are healed, inspired, and equipped to bring light and hope to our world. And I've been talking about this over the last couple of weeks. And right there in Genesis chapter 1, when God said there was light, and you know, you had chaos, but it says His Spirit was hovering over the water, and there was His Spirit. The next thing that happened is we hear His voice. Well, I wasn't there, but His voice appeared. And it was like His voice. His voice, His presence was there, and there was His voice. And His voice brought light, it brought goodness, and it brought order. All of a sudden, there was day, and there was night, and there was a routine of growth that would allow life to flourish on this planet. So His presence, through His voice, brings light, goodness, and order. And I want to encourage you, if you're struggling with stuff, get yourself in church, get yourself in connect group, get yourself around other people. We're going to worship together, and you will be surprised at how many times, you know, you actually experience light, you actually feel the goodness of God, and order comes back into your life just because you chose to gather with others and be in the presence of God. You need His presence. And I believe that we are walking into a great spiritual enlightenment. And a couple of weeks ago, I spoke about the age of enlightenment, but I believe that we are walking into a spiritual enlightenment. Others would call it revival, but there is a time that is, time is actually now, and God is up to something, and we've got to be ready for what He's doing. We've got to be part of what He's doing, and we've got to allow that spiritual enlightenment where His light will shine, because the Bible says, you know, the gospel is foolishness to those who don't understand. And many of you will have shared the gospel with friends, and you've talked about it, and you've argued about it to your black and blue in the face. And one day they go and talk to somebody else, and all of a sudden, bam, they get it. Because it's like the light goes on, and what seemed foolish makes sense because there is a spiritual enlightenment that comes to them. Let me encourage you with a great story. And I'm not going to use any names, but a young man who had been around our church over the last couple of weeks, and he was here through a particular program, and he experienced acceptance, he experienced love, he experienced encouragement, he experienced belief. 2 weeks ago, he went to church and he gave his heart to the Lord, and it's such an amazing turnaround in his life from where he's been and what has happened, and one day he'll get to share that with you. But we are going to see, let's start to believe it, we're going to see testimony after testimony after testimony after testimony of people who suddenly come into the light because you are light, because you're out there, the Spirit of God, and people are going to find hope and purpose. We've got to get hold of this. We've got to declare it. We've got to believe it. We've got to be part of it. God is doing it, and He wants you to be part of it. Right. All right, grow. And the grow area, that's oversighted by me at the moment. I'd love another great leader in that space. I've got Lizzie helping me with some things in that. But our ministry includes connect groups, your church care, prayer, your church men, your church seniors, your church young adults, and you can see the names of all the leaders there on our booklet. But we believe every person, as I've already said, is created in the image of God and has unlimited potential for greatness. And as we become more like Jesus, we bring out the best in each other to be light in our community. You know, what's the difference between the church and the world? How many times do you see a YouTube clip of somebody saying, just be your best, or I just wanted to be my best self? You know, and it's been said so many times, it sort of feels a bit cliche, and there's nothing wrong with it, but you know what, we want you to be not your best self, we want you to be Jesus' best self for you. Because He's called you to a purpose. It's not like just being your best self so you can do a YouTube video, or you can post it on Facebook and here I am today eating a salad, being my best self. You know, that we're actually that's how shallow a lot of this stuff is. Because, you know, you see a celebrity being their best self, and 2 days later they're cancelling somebody on social media. You know, like this stuff is rubbish. We are called to be the best that we can possibly be in Jesus Christ, because he has taken us with our brokenness, with our rubbish, and he has made us better than our best self. He's made us his best self. So come on, let's get hold of that. That's what we're walking into. That's what will change this community. We believe in the value and the growth of every person and every generation, from kids, youth, young adults, right through to our seniors. And I'll just finish this morning with some important things that I believe are the focus for the next season. There's a lot there, but here's some things that we've really got to be intent on and focus on. So this centre, this house that we've got, we've got to get it finished. It's already a huge blessing to the community, but there's so much more potential that we can unlock here. And, you know, here's the journey. If you're just joining us this morning, when the opportunity for this building became available, we purchased what was the old Coogan's building here in Moona. And the cool thing is, Moona, we had a lot of joking and sort of working it out, and for some people it was a bit real, but it was like all of a sudden we crossed a flannelette curtain. We were actually on the other side of Creek Road. We were the gateway to the northern suburbs. Now what is exciting about that is that if I look at what is the most unchurched region of Hobart and the impact, it's the northern suburbs. You know, I meet with some great people, some ministers from around the northern suburbs, but you know, great people doing great work, but most of the churches in the region are not growing very much, and most of the churches in that region are doing some great work, but they're not experiencing a lot of growth. And I believe we've been put here strategically to be a lighthouse church, not to say look at us, but we actually want to create an atmosphere where everybody grows in the northern suburbs. It's like I see us being able to, you know, as the light goes out and our wings go out, there is something that means, you know, that suddenly the Salvos and the Uniting Church and the Anglican Churches and everybody together rises on the same wave, and we see the kingdom come to the northern suburbs. And it's not just the northern suburbs, it's greater Hobart, it's the whole lot. But God has placed us strategically here to actually bring light right through this place and this region. So it was an amazing opportunity. And guess what? Newtown's there, Lenna Valley's there, the CBD's there. I can ride my bike right from here. I could jump on my bike right now. I'm talking about push bikes. I could jump on my bike and I could be in the CBD on my bike in less than 8 minutes. That's how close we are. You can't drive that fast, I know. But I can sneak through the cars. And we aim to create a centre that works for the community and for the church. We've got here seamlessly with the needs of the people. I'm sure seamless won't be always seamless, but we want to actually get something that flows. And stage one, which we completed in 2021, which is the arcade that you see out there. You can see the picture up there. You know, what a blessing that's been. I can see my friend Link back there. He's one of our tenants in Dandy Lane and doing a great job. And an amazing community that we're already experiencing with, you know, with tenants and everybody actually bringing light and hope to this area of Moona. Everybody's part of it. You know, we've got the gym there that are, you know, just helping girls, you know, do well and you know, function and be healthy and you know, we've got Pot Sticker over there. Philip is a great tenant. So we're very excited about what's happening there. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. You know, when we complete this, we're going to have a 400-seat auditorium right here. Right here. It's going to be around that way. The stage is going to be over there. There's going to be a cafe over there. You can see it all up there. And then we're going to be able to keep that door open. People are going to be able to walk from the car park through to Moona. There's going to be a cafe here. And it's going to be a life-giving cafe. When people come through that, they're going to experience light. They're going to experience hope. They're going to say, yeah, there is something different about this place. And why don't, Leonie, you just stand up. I just want to honour Leonie. Come on, let's give... Leonie's our business manager, and at the moment she manages this facility. But do you know what I just love about what Leonie brings? Leonie brings a spirit to this place. And she brings a spirit of light, she brings a spirit of lightness, she brings a spirit of hope. And everybody, all the people that come into this place, it feels different. And we understand that there is something about the presence of God and the Spirit in that. But as controversial as it was, even when we had, you know, we had the state government hire an office to do vaccinations here. And the team said, we love it here. Something is different about it. And Leonie allows the Spirit of Christ in her to actually bring that through everybody and all the areas that come. And she is doing a great job. And she is... You know, that is something that you can all be proud of. That's what happens in this centre. Thanks, Lonesy. And she's excited. She wants to see this thing finished so we could actually see. We can see every single week. You know, when this is finished, we're going to be hiring it. It'll hire all the time. There'll be people through here. You know, sometimes there'll be commercial arrangements. Other times we're able to bless a church or a ministry that come in here. You know, we had a ministry here on Thursday night who were just so blessed to actually be able to be in the building and have a safe place. And it's just, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. So we're believing that stage two is going to commence in the second half of this year. And we've sort of got a verbal agreement with some builders and we're working on that at the moment. So keep praying for that. But how are we going to do that? Well, we've got to be all in. We've got to be all in. And hey, I'm going to speak to you like I speak to my leadership team now.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Lord. Hang on to your seats.
Back me up on this. Back Alex up on this. Back the team up on this. When you hear people saying they're all about the building, when I have meetings with the team, they actually say, Dave, you haven't talked enough about the building. Yep. And there's this thing about churches, because church is people. It's not about the building. But the building facilitates.
That's it.
It facilitates vision. It's a place to gather. God's given it to us as a strategic position of hope and a capacity to bless the community. We're never going to make it about the building. The building is going to happen. But I'll tell you what, a few years back when Alex and I moved house, when we moved from our little cottage in Lenner Valley to this big mansion that we now have.
Stop it, it's not.
It's in the northern suburbs. And our front lawn is not manicured. Our boys got electric motorbikes for Christmas and they turned our front lawn into a motocross track. I've been waiting for it just to get cool enough and damp enough to re-sow it and maybe it'll be manicured. But when we did that, when we needed to move house reasonably quickly for some reasons So we found this house. We were thinking of renovating. We found this house and it was like, yeah, that's it. That's it. And we signed a 60-day contract on it. We hadn't sold the house we had. And my good friend Michael said, don't worry about that, Dave. The house will sell. We'll be right. And it was in time where the market was like that. But we had to be incredibly focused to get it done. And my dad came over and helped. He came over every day like he was going to work and was painting the house. And we had other friends that gathered and tradesmen. And, you know, Richie came and helped me do the roof. And we were focused. It was only for a short period, But we got it done, and we got it on the market, and we sold it, and we managed to move house. But it required us to be focused. So team, when you hear them say they're all about the building, I just want to see us get this to the next stage, so we don't have to be thinking about that development. We can actually be thinking much more about people and ministry, and we're always going to be about people and ministry. But just back me up in that. Just back me up in it. We're not doing a building for building's sake. We're doing this because God has given this to us, and he's asked us to be good stewards of this. He's asked us to develop it, and he's given us the opportunity. And so we're going to be all in. So I think in many ways we've had a season where we've actually just made it happen behind the scenes, but we're going to need some working bees. We're going to need to get in here and do some stuff. So like before we actually start building here, we're going to have times where we can clean everything out and get it ready. You guys get the opportunity to be part of that. We need to do more fundraising. And it's not about the amount. Like the thing is, the next stage of the building, what we can do will depend on how much money we can raise. But really, we're talking about the next part of the construction is about $1.5 million. So you know, and we can see ways clear to get through to that. We've got to raise more money. We've got to do that. But I believe in faith we'll do that. But you know, the more we can raise, the more we can actually get done while we're building. And I tell you what, as soon as you stop building, it's hard to start it again. So the more we can get done while it's rolling is actually going to make a big difference. So let's do that. But if you want to be part of that, and someone says, "Oh, I'm going to do a Lamington drive," you know, and you know that a Lamington drive is going to raise, you know, it might raise $250 or something like that, and it doesn't seem much in $1.5 million. But it's about engagement.
That's right.
Yep. It's about ownership. Yep. It's about all of us being all in together, and saying, "Yeah, together we did that."
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't just carried on Dave or Alex's shoulders. It wasn't carried on the board's shoulders. It was actually we did it together. And we're going to see God bless incredibly through this. So let's have faith for that. Let's be part of it. The second thing is we need an army of volunteers. We need a culture of serving. And you guys are amazing. You're incredibly generous. But I think as we go forward, we can actually develop that in an incredible way. In Matthew 20:26, it says, "But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant." And I think we need to really build a culture of serving in this age. I think some reasons why. It's actually countercultural to what's going on at the moment. And the more that we understand this culture of serving, the more it's actually an antidote to what's actually going on in society. We need to release an army. And it was interesting, I had that in my notes. And Fiona this morning in our pre-service prayer, she was really declaring about an army, about a church standing as an army. And God doing something. And I believe we actually need, and we will build, an army of volunteers, an army of light bearers. Yeah. So in serving, and we're gonna focus on this in the next couple of weeks, and really have a look at it. But in serving, you know, you find family. Who's ever been part of some? Alex and I have just got more involved over the last couple of years with hockey. So much so that after not playing for 30-something years, Alex is going to... She's going to start playing hockey again. but we've got, you know, we've got involved with the club, and Alex is coaching one of the teams, and, you know, last Sunday afternoon she was doing this training on coaching and all that. But all of a sudden, you know, even in just a club, even in just a hockey club, all of a sudden you can actually just turn up and watch the games, or when you get involved, you find connection, you find friends, you find family. And so much more in the kingdom. You can say, "Oh, I'm going to watch it," or "I'm just going to do the very minimum." But when you choose to serve, you find family, you also find belonging. You know, some people, you can have all the superficial small talk after church, Some of you do small talk well, some of you feel awkward. But you know, when you actually get on a team, you find belonging. Years ago, I'm actually out of time, but I'll tell this. Years ago, one of our Connect groups decided to do a renovation rescue on somebody's house. And so we all came, they brought other people in, and we're it's your house, Lindsay. And we're painting, and I'm in there, and I'm standing next to a great guy from our church, and we're painting a wall together. And we're chatting, we're talking about all sorts of things. And the leader of the life group came over to me, and she said, "How did you get him talking? I can't get him to say anything at Connect Group." And she said, "Here he is talking to you about everything." And I said, "Well, people just talk when they're doing things together. You know, we can stand around, but when we do stuff together, we connect. It's an important reason to serve. You know, we find purpose as we serve together. What can you expect from us as we build an army of volunteers?" And this has got to be understood, and we'll unpack this in times to come. But you know, we've got to experience love in word and action right through all of our teams. And I think respect. Respect for everyone, everywhere. I'm actually putting out the challenge. Some of you might think, "Oh, I couldn't volunteer because, you know, all of a sudden, you know what churches are like. They'll eat up all my time and I won't be able to do anything else." You know, maybe you can say, "I could volunteer 2 hours a week." You know, we want to respect that. We want to respect that, yes, stuff is going on, and you're saying, "Yeah, I could start." So, we want to respect who you are. We want to respect what you can do, and recognize that, you know, every person is valued, but all our lives and our circumstances are different. You know, some people can turn up here on a Sunday morning and they can stand out there and they can welcome people and they can shine the light and they can encourage and then they can be making some calls during the week, you know, and connecting people. But outside of that, you know, their ministry might be their work. They might be, you know, they might be leading a big organization. They might be in health or community, all sorts of things we understand we will respect. And integrity. We want integrity in serving. We want integrity right across the board. You know, we want to speak truth, but we actually want it to be covered with the grace of God. So come on, let's decide we're going to be part of an army of volunteers. So you are light. If your name's in this book, come on, just come and stand on the stage with me, and we're going to pray for everybody. So that's our executive team. That's our board. That is all of people are on the team's page. So if your name is in there, come up. If you think your name should be in there, well, you can still come up. If you're believing for your name to be in there. No, it's not a... It's not a who's who at all. It's just people that have actually chosen to serve. The church is not a building. The church is not even a leadership structure. The church is not a vision presentation. The church is people. The church is you. The church is us. The church is light. The church is people who carry the light of Jesus. The church is you. Let's just pray for those that have chosen to serve in this place. And I know that just about everybody sitting here this morning, so many of you serve in all sorts of different ways. But when you reach out your hands and let's just ask for God's keeping, for his anointing, for his grace, for his peace, for his harmony. How beautiful it is when people dwell in unity and there, at Zion, kingdom purpose, God commands a blessing. As we're about his kingdom, I believe that God is going to bless these people individually. He's going to bless you individually. He's going to bless us as a church because we're about his kingdom and his purpose. Father, I thank you so much for our amazing team of people here. Thank you for the incredible sacrifices that people make. I thank you for longevity. I thank you for people that have chosen to serve in season and out of season. I thank you for people that have chosen to serve when they're busy. I thank you for people who have chosen to serve when it's hard. I thank you for people who have chosen to serve through disappointment. I thank you that people have chosen to serve because they're about your kingdom. Bless them, grow them, enlarge their capacity. For all of us, let's encourage them. Let's speak life to them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Just give them a great big hand. Why don't you stand up? Just stand up, encourage those that have chosen to lead. There's others that could be up. You all should be up there, really. But you know, as we show honour to leadership, we allow leaders to lead and we all go forward together. It's quite a powerful thing. So thank you, guys. Awesome. Worship team, you can stay there.